We're going to be on Beatitude number 4. And this one is about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're going to have this for the next few weeks until we do the whole line of them. We actually looked at this probably 10 years or better ago. I don't remember how much stuff I did 10 years ago. I suspect many of you don't know that. If you do know that, you got the wrong guy up here, you know. These Beatitudes are also called by others the beautiful attitudes. The Beatitudes, beautiful attitudes. And what happens in this beautiful attitudes are basic principles, like we said. But we're going to do the ones about mourning and being meek. In our past studies, we explored blessed are the poor in spirit, and they that mourn, and blessed are the meek. This man or woman, boy or girl, who is tired of his condition before God, comes and craves a closer walk with God. That's where the singers come in. Just a little walk with thee, just a little walk with thee. All that kind of, you know, follows in some of this stuff. This man or woman, or boy or girl, however you may work it out, is now tired of his or her condition before God and craves to have a walk with his God. I'm going to tell you what, one of the best places to have a walk with God is be by yourself in the middle of nowhere. But that scares some people. But I'm telling you, that's a good place. With this in mind and thinking about these beautiful attitudes, let's talk about hunger and thirst. Now, when I say to you, I'm hungry, that's not the same thing that's going on here. I'm hungry because I want more on my sandwich, or I want more on my plate, or whatever. These people hunger and thirst and want to be filled with righteousness. That does not come through cornbread and that sort of thing. This boy or girl, this woman, this man looks at God and sees himself and concludes he's not worth having. Have you ever done something where you felt like you were not worth having anymore? You may not have, I have. You know, there's some bad stuff we do over time. The background of this beatitude is that Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people who are under Roman rule. That is a bad spot when you can't be your own people and you're thrust into a whole different world. That's a terrible condition. The background of this is Jesus is speaking to the Jewish people under this. And it was an everyday sight to see children starving for food. In a lot of places, when there was a starving going on, parents would trade or sell their own babies so that they could live. The background here in this starvation brings up these words that are participles, which means they never actually ever quit. The prodigal son in Luke 15, when he was hungry, was willing to eat the husk with the pigs that he was feeding. you wouldn't believe all this, but in earlier years, if you think I do goofy stuff now, you should have been there. I remember roping calves and the calf being bigger than I thought it was and drug me all over the arena. I was on bulls that said, I want you off of me. I have no toenail left on any foot that's not messed up from being stomped by bulls or horses and maybe probably some people. I don't know. But I don't do that anymore, and it'd probably be a good idea if you don't. In Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants after you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When can I go? Listen to that, Herman. When can I go and meet with God? You know what the answer to that is? Right now. You don't have to be in some building like this. Could you do that out in a barn somewhere? Could you go have a solitude with God in a barn? I'm going to tell you, thousands, if not millions, have done that. It's like a hidden treasure to have these beautiful attitudes brought to us. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had just to acquire it. If you have something of great value that nobody else has, that's the way this is. It's a doctrine concerning the way in which man may attain a state approved by God, though he cannot do it on his own. You can't do for yourself what you need. You need the one who has the power. It involves integrity, virtue, purity of life, rightness, correctness of thinking, feeling, and acting. And in a narrow sense, justice, or the virtue which can give each its due. It's critical to understand that we do not hunger and thirst for something you already have. Anybody in here have a cold drink in your refrigerator when you get home? Did you notice you didn't bring it with you because you were waiting to use it at another time? God provides for his kids. And when we say kids, it doesn't matter whether you're a teenager or if you're 105. Romans 3:10. There is no one righteous, not even one. Now, how many does that leave? None. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Can a society get so out of whack that God would say, there's not anybody that's getting this right? Has God ever washed the world down and started over? Do we think he couldn't do that again? I'm going to tell you what, with all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, the fact that God is letting us still live is remarkable. I don't know how he does it, but I am glad he does it. There's none righteous, not even one, not one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have turned to become worthless. There is no one who does good, not one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their way, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is a bad place to be in a nation. And it is all over this nation. Now we know whatever the law says, and it says to those who are under law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world held accountable before God. God is not playing. In verse 21, now apart from law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. Do you know there's people out there in this world that's worse than we are? Do you know that's true? At the same time, do you know there's some of us that are worse than some of them? Do you believe that to be true? So what God did here, according to verse 25, is God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. We've practiced a lot. What we need to do, what I need to do, is take more caution in what God really wants out of us. Sometimes we get out of line, and God don't want that from us and for us. It says concerning this beatitude, they shall be filled. This word filled here is a word that comes from a basic word that sounds something like calorus. And that would be like a flowing pasture full of green grass. This is what I can attain, or you can attain. We realize, if you want to, when you talk about this being filled by God, that's what God does for us. When we're in turmoil of spirit, you know what God does? God still fills us. You place your total life under God's control when you want righteousness with a passion. Matthew 5:6 said, "Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth." Now, does that sound like a promise to you? Is that something you got to beg and scratch for? Or is that something God's given us? Do we get everything right? Did we ever get anything right? No. This is where our power comes under His control. We need to understand the different uses of righteousness. When you hear righteousness, you also have self-righteousness. Now, that's not the good one. That's the bad one. Matthew 6:1, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." Then you have other things about righteousness. Do you know about imputed righteousness? This is righteousness that's given from and by God on the basis of His own faithfulness, not yours. Is it conceivable that God could give me His own righteousness so that I could live, though I'm not worthy of it? But is God like that? Is He not like that? That He's struggling and stretching to do all He can to hold you in His embrace. If you have been imputed with God's righteousness, you are wearing God's faithfulness. In Romans 1:16 and 17, the text says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith." Now, when you talk about having been imputed righteous, how good is that on a scale to 1 to 100? Yeah. Do you realize you didn't earn that? You didn't do enough to earn that. God took what He had and put it on you. And you can't go around bragging about that, like, "I got me some righteousness and y'all don't have it." God knows how to undo that too, by the way. But when God takes you, He imputes His righteousness on you. And you are wearing not what you figured out, not what you wanted over here, but what God is wearing. And you can go right up in the face of God and stand before Him without melting, because God is on our side. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 1:30-31. "It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus." No, man, I go to church and I did it every, I got to baptized, I did all of that. You listen to what God says, not what you say. "It's because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, it is written, 'Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord.'" Who created all of this goodness? Was it us? Or was God doing all of that, bringing His boy into the world to bring justice and rightness and purity? And we embrace that. It's still God doing it, not us. We just get to go along for the ride. Now, can we get better in time? And can we in time, while we're getting better, do something better about things like that? Well, I'm going to tell you, the Beatitudes are not some sweet little things to deal with. They were like a chart, maybe for looking into the stars or whatever, just something like a compass that keeps you on the right path. I have a God who forgives me and has forgiven me. I have a God who's in covenant with me. You have that too. And we can stand together and enjoy the fact that I'm not good enough, you're not good enough. I don't need to go around telling somebody else in the room here, you know, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. Now, there is the straighten up and fly right stuff that needs to go around, but we need to be real careful about how we deal with that. God is on our side. You cannot lose with Him. If you don't hang out with Him, all you can do is lose. The church said, Amen.